This is the business of sports.
Let's talk Super Bowl and Fox Sports.
Every single thing that occurs, I want people to remember this is a business.
Guaranteed money isn't necessarily guaranteed.
Michael Barr.
How high can these valuations go?
Scott Soschnick.
Duke. Everybody loves rooting against him, right?
Evan Novi Williams.
Off the field, the NBA has never been buzzier.
And the leaders in the sports industry.
Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred.
The CEO of Oracle, Mark Hirsch.
Jared Smith, President of Ticketmaster.
Mindy race car driver, Elio Castroneves.
Bloomberg, business of sports. From Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
I'm Evan Novi Williams.
And I'm Michael Barr, and this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. Now, yes... The Seattle Seahawks are out of the playoffs. And yes, Marshawn Lynch came back briefly as a running back out of retirement.
Scored three touchdowns in three games,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did. He has some financial advice for the young up-and-coming players in the NFL. Give a listen.
While y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies. You know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken. You feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals. Because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean, they no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away and you be able to do what you want to do.
There it is. You be able to do what you want to do. Now, I've heard it called cheese. I've heard it called bread. I've never heard it called chicken.
I have heard it called chicken.
You have?
Yes, I have. I have heard it called chicken. Now, I know... People are out there like, oh, Marshawn. But he's got a point. He says it in a hip way, but he's got a point.
Maybe the players will listen. Who better than an elder statesman who's had success in the league? And by the way, I think it's good that a guy has sort of peaked at retirement. And I don't mean peaked at hit the top of. I mean peaked at looked at. The fact that he's away from the game and understands, like, all right, I didn't get a paycheck. I've got nothing to do. I don't know why he came back. Chance to win? I don't know. Does he need the money? I don't know. But many have tried to tell the younger players, take care of y'all chicken, and sometimes they don't listen.
And keep in mind, too, as you know, Marshawn Lynch is not a talkative person to the media. So for him to say that...
Well, the question was, are you coming back next year?
Yeah.
Clearly, this is a message he wanted to deliver.
Right.
He wasn't asked about what's your advice to younger players.
Yeah, I'll be the skeptic here real quick.
Skeptic Evan.
If Tim Duncan losing $20 million isn't the thing that makes players realize, oh, I need to be smart with my money, I don't think Marshawn Lynch talking after a game is going to be the thing that does it, personally. You know, Marshawn Lynch has done some cool things after or in the middle of his, between his playing days, right? He has a
Beast Mode
brand. Clothing company. Yeah. But it's as a journalist, I love having him back.
Yeah.
I love watching his press conferences. You know, I don't think every journalist would feel that way, but from sitting from afar, you know, I like these.
Well, onto the football bar, though. We've got four teams left. We'll call it the semifinals, final four, whatever you want. What excites you?
Well, first of all, I better say this because Linda, who is a huge 49ers fan.
Oh, boy, if they go to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to drop some points.
My goodness. 49ers against the Green Bay Packers for the NFC title. Kansas City.
Two, maybe, but let's say what? Those are two big brands.
Oh, yeah.
NFL got to be very happy with Green Bay and San Francisco.
There's some tuning in with that.
Yeah.
And then for the AFC, Kansas City, and probably the surprise, the Tennessee Titans, because they knocked off Baltimore. I didn't see that coming at all.
Right. A lot of people did. But you'll be very happy to learn that I now do know Derrick Henry.
There you go.
From the NFL's perspective, this seems like... The fact that he wasn't sort of, was it just me missing it? But he should have been. He's pretty exciting. Big, I mean, 240 pounds. Yeah, but now 240 pounds, 4'5", 40, almost 200 yards in all those playoff games. Have you watched
his high school highlights, by the way?
God, no.
I believe the number, I may be wrong on this, I believe he rushed for over 13,000 yards in high school.
Yeah, he did.
Which is
many of them over,
insane.
Right over defenders.
And if you look at the videos, yeah, he looks like a video game where you get one player who's massive, right? He looks like he's 8 feet tall. I was surprised, actually, and Barr, you can comment on this too, the point spread in both these games, over a touchdown.
Yeah.
As good as these matchups seem to be, especially that NFC one, when was the last time that both the semifinals NFL games were supposed to be over a touchdown
difference?
Especially
Green Bay being the underdog by a touchdown That surprised me.
I don't know anything about these games. You know, I have no idea. But I'll say take the points.
The NFL has been blessed by, you know, very few blowouts in this postseason, right? A couple of overtime games, a lot of games that were one score. Even the big blowout yesterday when the Chiefs beat the Texans, which turned out to be a blowout, they were down so much in the beginning that it ended up being a very compelling game.
Something happened.
Go ahead.
That never happened in the NFL playoffs before. I'm sorry to interrupt. But a team down by 20 or more wins the game by 20 or more.
Right.
That never happened.
No, but you know, what's something that has happened, but what's the most interesting part of the entire game that you're just talking about there?
That you're watching scoring.
No, well, you are watching scoring, but what's the interesting part, Bar?
Well,
and you obviously didn't see this. Ready?
Yeah.
Do you know the Chiefs ran out of fireworks?
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs ran out of touchdown fireworks because they scored so many darn points. How do you run out of fireworks? It can't happen.
Score 51 points.
I don't care.
How it happened.
You got to be ready for triple digits on the scoreboard. You cannot run out of fireworks.
You had the crowd just say boom, and then we're good to go.
Hey, you had, you know, the message on the scoreboard, sorry, we ran out of fireworks. Can't happen. Give me a little Tony Romo, by the way.
Hey.
Talk about chicken.
Yeah. Talk about taking care of chicken.
He wants to become the highest paid, and he just might be in terms of being in the booth.
Yeah, the reports that ESPN or, you know, Disney is going to offer him what would be the biggest broadcasting contract, I believe, in sports history, $10 to $14 million to try to lure him away from CBS. Seems pretty clear that he is in high demand right now. I think a lot of that is going to depend on maybe what Disney, ABC, ESPN are able to do in terms of NFL rights. I don't think he would leave CBS to go to ESPN right now, given what they have, just that Monday night piece and that playoff game. But if ABC ends up with a bigger chunk, I could see that being a more alluring move for Tony Romo.
Well, I would also say, how do you leverage him? One, you get the games, yes.
Yep.
Two, the importance of the shoulder programming to ESPN more so than CBS. They have so many hours of shoulder programming around the NFL. And then, by the way, let's not dismiss the golf.
Yeah.
Does Tony Romo appear on the golf coverage as well? I mean, CBS actually has the Masters.
For sure.
So how else do you utilize him? I don't think this is going to be just one of those, okay, you be your top analyst and pay you this money. There's going to be a broader encompassing deal for him with other sports and other programs.
I feel like the perception of Tony Romo, the announcer, has changed a bit recently, right? In the beginning, when he was in his rookie year announcing, you know, a lot of people hated what he was doing, right? And now I feel like the praise is almost universal. The backlash for Tony Romo, which existed, I think, a lot in his, when he was predicting plays and maybe ruining some things, that seems to have dissipated a bit.
Appreciation?
I don't know if he's toned it down or if people are just appreciating
I mean, what did he say yesterday? It was like, well, if they're going to get back in this, they got to get the ball to Travis Kelce.
I mean, if you're right, you're right.
I think he works hard.
Yeah,
it's not easy. I think this may be a bit of a game changer here to some analysts. I'm not saying others don't work hard, but it really seems like he prepares for the broadcast as he was the quarterback for both teams.
Yeah, I think especially if you have a recently retired player who is as cerebral as he is, I think that makes for incredibly compelling play
insight.
Calling, right?
Yeah.
And the same way that Alex Rodriguez, I think, does such a great job, because half the pitchers he's talking about, he actually faced. Right, he remembers every single one of his at-bats, right? He knows exactly what they throw, 0-2, et cetera. And it makes me kind of wonder what Tony Romo's shelf like might be, right? If 10 years from now, if he's, you know, 15 years removed from the NFL and suddenly Pat Mahomes retires and now Pat Mahomes wants to do this, I wonder if the future is just recently retired, eloquent, cerebral athletes.
Who knows the players.
Gotcha. And knows the way the league works in this exact moment.
But can we agree that nobody tunes into the games because of the broadcasters? I don't.
I think that's true.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay, all right.
That is true. Right. I don't want to admit it, but it is true.
And $14 million, that's a lot of money, right? Like, that's John Gruden.
That's a whole rotisserie
like
chicken.
Million,
that's the whole
right?
rotisserie
Aikman
chicken.
Aikman is getting $7 million.
That's not the wings, the thighs. That's the whole chicken.
That's the chicken.
Stephen A. Smith money.
let's go to college football. And this is it. And it happens.
Wait, that hasn't been. What are we talking college? That hasn't happened yet?
Number three, Clemson. We'll look for the second straight national championship title tonight against number one LSU. And you know the problem I have with this is that Clemson has ranked number three. They haven't lost a game in 2 years?
I I know they almost lost to Syracuse last year. That I know. Too. That's enough for me to drop them a couple.
I mean, Clemson, they're awesome. This is going to be a great
Give
game.
Give me the money, Evan.
Because
we're finally, it's been so long since.
16-day layoff. Exactly. Wild,
Give me the money. What's the most interesting contrast, compare contrast the money of these two programs?
I think the big interesting thing is that even though Clemson from on the football field has been probably the most dominant team of the past six, seven, maybe even decade, they are still not financially on par with your blue blood SEC programs, right? So LSU's athletic budget is significantly higher. Its football budget is significantly higher. The money they make off of football, also significantly higher. And that, I think, is going to change over time if Clemson continues to be
Do they need other ACC teams to be successful to get bigger share?
Well, this is the thing that Clemson can make up ticket sales, right? There's a $10 to $15 million difference in football sale ticket sales between Clemson and LSU, LSU being the higher of those two. Clemson can make that up, right? If they continue to be one of the best teams in the country, there's more demand for season tickets. But you can get more donations.
But what scares me about that, yes, you can do all that, but then this is the part that scares me. You gotta win almost
you
every
have to
game.
Win. Yeah, absolutely.
That's scary. You have to win almost every. You're like, you lose an early season game, you're done.
Yes, and the thing that you don't need to win to get is the money from your conference.
Right.
And you brought it up. The ACC lags way behind the SEC, and the SEC is renegotiating their TV deals right now. In a couple years, the share for SEC teams each year, just from media alone before they play a game, is going to be in the $60 million range. Right. And right now, the ACC is at $29 million. Right. And that will go up, I think, as well. But the gap between what every SEC gets before they even put a team on the field versus what every ACC team gets is continuing to widen, and that would worry me if I was Clemson.
When is the ACC going to get more respect? Is it now?
When they win. Clemson?
Well,
no, one team's not enough. You have to have multiple teams in that top 10, top 15.
Yeah, and it's been, I mean, and basketball not as big a moneymaker as football. The ACC basketball this year is having a down year. But I think more importantly,
Syracuse just beat Virginia.
Where you are. Okay, great. Look at that.
Let me
shout That's
it.
Probably bad for the ACC.
Yeah, probably bad. They needed Virginia, exactly. Yeah, but by the way, chicken. NBPA.
Yes.
All along those same lines, the NBA Players Union wants to help some of its players make the chicken.
Yeah.
So what are they doing, Barr? I wrote about it last week.
Yes, you did. The NBA, the superstars like LeBron James and Kevin Durant, they have become serial investors. I like that, by the way. Serial investors.
It's true.
Lending their names and ideas and money to a number of business ventures and startups, and hopefully other people will follow along.
Well, in essence, what the NBPA is doing, in conjunction with, by the way, and this just happens, good happenstance for us, in conjunction with Patrickoff Co., and we just had Mark Patrickoff on the show, they are creating an accelerator program. They're going to have people compete with their ideas for mentorship for an official program at the union to help players get their business ideas off the ground.
Do you think there is ever a future in which players through some form get some kind of equity in team valuation?
No.
Never?
No.
Why not?
Gotcha.
It's salary cap-esque. It's very different. They don't want players having ownership. There's just too many bad things there for the leagues. It's just too difficult to quantify. What if you could trade it? You know, it's very difficult.
Sure, I get that you shouldn't have ownership in the team that you're on, et cetera. I just wonder if there's like a way to do like a fund. I mean, because we've talked about the idea
of the LP stakes around. Yeah,
if there was a way to cut players in on that.
You saw how hard, and Spencer Dinwiddie's securitization plan seems to be coming to fruition.
Yeah.
But we've seen how hard the league pushed back on that alone. And it's all about sort of a salary cap circumvention and what he can do and cannot do with his money from the team. The idea of equity in a team, I just don't see the leagues ever allowing it.
Interesting.
By the way, we should add, Union Executive Director Michelle Roberts, who we've also had on the show, says that our members are more than basketball players. They are investors, businessmen, entrepreneurs, and stewards of their personal brands, which sums everything up. So you're talking the big guns helping the little guns.
But by the way, I would like to point out, too, because I know Michelle is big on this, also eligible are former players.
Right.
Not just current players. She's looking to help those who have helped pave the way.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scott Soschnick and Evan Novy Williams.
We are here every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, exploring the world of money and sports.
Join us again at the end of the week when we speak with the biggest and brightest in the sports business world.
Oh, wait, I got to tell you this before we go.
Well, okay.
Remember we talk about esports all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My son, yes, I'm going to say the school, Tamaqua High School in Pennsylvania, he's trying out for the esports team.
Nice.
Overwatch.
Nice.
And I never thought I would react like this.
You're happy.
I'm a nervous father for an esports team.
Right.
It's like, oh, come on, practice.
When is try?
It's going on right now.
All right.
What's the mascot?
I do not know.
Oh.
I do not know.
So, all right, you gotta let us know.
Go fighting Tamaquas.
you're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio
Take
around
care
the
your
world
chicken.
And online wherever you get your podcast.
Bye.